God commands, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Yet practically all churchgoers find a way to relegate the Sabbath to something the Jews do or something lost in antiquity. Or they claim it doesn't matter what day you keep as long as you keep a day. Others say Sunday has replaced the Sabbath, and others wonder, can we really know the seventh day of the week in today's calendar? Still others recognize that Jesus Christ kept the Sabbath, but believe this was only to keep it for us, or he did it because he was a Jew. And still others believe the Sabbath is and has always been the seventh day of the week, but, as we saw in part one, the Roman Church, under the supposed authority granted to Peter, held the right to change observance to the first day. Most simply believe it has been done away. People concoct endless arguments as to why the Sabbath command no longer applies. But God's Word reveals that the Sabbath was made for all people, for all time.
The World to Come. The Restored Church of God presents David C. Pack, author of 80 books and booklets, editor-in-chief of The Real Truth magazine, read by countless and growing numbers in every nation and territory of the world. In a violent age, full of bad news, answering life's greatest questions straight from the Bible and announcing the wonderful good news of the world to come. And now, David C. Pack.
I grew up in a big, respected Protestant church. I can recall sitting in Sunday school at age 3. Later, Sunday school became church services, with everyone taking for granted that we were there on the right day. No one remotely suggested otherwise. We all appeared in our Sunday best, and for years, with no one questioning what we did. Things changed in 1966 when, at age 17, I was challenged to look into the Bible to see what it actually says on the matter of Sunday keeping. I was absolutely shocked by what I found. My study of the Sabbath made me realize that there was no excuse for breaking it. I found the Bible was plain and left no room for doubt. The scriptures about the Sabbath and Sunday were most clear. I saw that common objections to Sabbath observance were easily disproven if one had an open mind. Unless God did not exist and the Bible was the word of men, I had no choice but to observe the Sabbath. I found that the fourth commandment is a law. When kept, it brings spiritual blessings, in effect, keeping those who keep it. When broken, it brings spiritual curses, similarly breaking those who break it, who disobey it. In part one, we saw statements from many Catholic officials admitting the Sabbath was never changed either by Christ or the apostles. But many Protestant officials have also candidly admitted there is no biblical authority for Sunday observance. Here are their quotations, with most categorized into denominations. The first true Protestant was Martin Luther. No record of Protestant teaching is complete without the words of this earliest reformer. He wrote, "Hence you can see that the Sabbath was before the law of Moses came and has existed from the beginning of the world. Especially have the devout who have preserved the true faith, met together and called upon God on this day." Here is another Lutheran source. The festival of Sunday, like all other festivals, was always only a human ordinance, and it was far from the intentions of the apostles to establish a divine command in this respect, far from them and from the early apostolic church, to transfer the laws of the Sabbath to Sunday. And a third Lutheran source, "But they err in teaching that Sunday has taken the place of the Old Testament Sabbath, and therefore must be kept just as the seventh day had to be kept by the children of Israel. These churches err in their teaching, for Scripture has in no way ordained the first day of the week in place of the Sabbath. There is simply no law in the New Testament to that effect." Here are two statements from Episcopalian or Anglican leaders. And where are we told in the Scriptures that we are to keep the first day at all? We are commanded to keep the seventh. But we are nowhere commanded to keep the first day. The reason why we keep the first day of the week holy instead of the seventh is for the same reason that we observe many other things, not because the Bible, but because the Roman Church has enjoined it. That's pretty plain. Here is the other. We have made the change from the seventh day to the first day, from Saturday to Sunday, on the authority of the one holy Catholic Apostolic Church of Christ. Again, pretty plain. Now the first of two from the Baptists. There was and is a commandment to keep holy the Sabbath day, but that Sabbath day was not Sunday. It will be said, however, and with some show of triumph, that the Sabbath was transferred from the seventh to the first day of the week. Where can the record of such a transaction be found? Not in the New Testament. Absolutely not. To me, it seems unaccountable that Jesus, during 3 years' intercourse with his disciples, he continues, often conversing with them upon the Sabbath question, never alluded to any transference of the day. Also, that during 40 days of his resurrection life, no such thing was intimated. Here's the second statement. There was never any formal or authoritative change from the Jewish seventh-day Sabbath to the Christian first-day observance. Here are the Methodists, and from John Wesley himself. Quote, "But the moral law contained in the Ten Commandments and enforced by the prophets, he, Christ, did not take away. It was not the design of his coming to revoke any part of this. This is a law which never can be broken. Every part of this law must remain in force upon all mankind and in all ages." End of quote. Now for Presbyterians. The Sabbath is a part of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. This alone forever settles the question as to the perpetuity of the institution. Until, therefore, it can be shown that the whole moral law has been repealed, the Sabbath will stand. The teaching of Christ confirms the perpetuity of the Sabbath. So plain and honest. Yet, incredibly, they don't keep it. I know, I once was one. Here are the Congregationalists. It is quite clear that however rigidly or devoutly we may spend Sunday, we are not keeping the Sabbath. The Sabbath was founded on a specific divine command. We can plead no such command for the obligation to observe Sunday. There is not a single sentence in the New Testament to suggest that we incur any penalty by violating the supposed sanctity of Sunday. Here is the denomination called the Disciples of Christ. But, say some, it was changed from the seventh to the first day. Where, when, and by whom? No man can tell. No, it never was changed, nor could it be, unless creation was to be gone through again. For the reason assigned must be changed before the observance or respect to the reason can be changed. It is all old wives' fables to talk of the change of the Sabbath from the seventh to the first day. If it be changed, it was that august personage changed it who changes times and laws ex officio. He continues, I think his name is Dr. Antichrist. Yet, incredibly, this denomination also still observes Sunday anyway. Absolutely stunning. Then finally there is this from a famous Protestant author and preacher. Quote, the Sabbath was binding in Eden and has been in force ever since. This fourth commandment begins with the word remember, showing that the Sabbath already existed when God wrote the law on the tables of stone at Sinai. How can men claim that this one commandment has been done away with when they will admit that the other nine are still binding? Be willing to open your Bible and honestly accept what it says about the Sabbath. Many have supposed that Christ nailed it to the cross along with about everything else in the Old Testament requiring obedience. The Sabbath originated long before the Old Covenant was established. The Ten Commandments did not come into existence with the Old Covenant, but long predated it. They had been in force since creation. Soon after God had completed his covenant with Israel, he introduced another very special and unique covenant in Exodus 31. It pertains solely to the Sabbath and opens with, quote, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak you also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths you shall keep." Let's understand, all Sabbaths belong to God. He calls them my Sabbaths. This connotes ownership. They are his. They belong to no man, including the Jews. They belong to God. Now, before continuing, let's review from last time the entire Sabbath commandment. Let's read the whole thing. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, maidservant, or cattle, or stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. 4 points are vital to understand. First, God said, remember the Sabbath. This was because Israel had forgotten it during their time in Egypt. Also, God had just divinely revealed the Sabbath through the miracle of manna as holy time, and he wanted Israel to remember this time that they had forgotten. Why do vast millions today want to forget a commandment that begins with remember? In a world that has forgotten it, God tells you today to remember the Sabbath. Will you? Second, God, actually Christ in the Old Testament, commands to abstain from work on the seventh day. God made the Sabbath as a time for man to rest from the previous 6 days of work. The rest command is all-encompassing. He knew that man would need this rest, physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. This is another reason the Sabbath is literally for man. Recall Christ's words in Mark 2:27. It is a weekly opportunity to break away from the daily routine, commune more closely with God, and reflect on our purpose for being. God does command human beings to work 6 days. He wants man to provide for himself and his family and to manage his life and finances in accordance with his laws. Many verses, such as John 5:17 and 36, show that both the Father and Christ work. So should we. Third is the critically important point in the passage revealing that God is re-giving the Sabbath by hearkening to its place and creation in the original creation week. Exodus 20, verse 11, uses practically the same language as Genesis 2, 2, and 3. More than 2,500 years had passed from the time of creation. So God explains that the Sabbath is still holy, hallowed time. An important side note. Though Genesis 2, 2, and 3 does not use the term the Sabbath day, Exodus 20 does. This is critical because Exodus 20 directly references the Genesis 2 creation account. While both use the term the seventh day, Exodus merely adds that this is the Sabbath, therefore making it one and the same as the Sabbath from creation. The Sabbath did not first appear at Mount Sinai, as some claim. Remember, the same Christ who was Lord of the Sabbath made it at creation. The seventh day and the Sabbath are synonymous. Do not let anyone cleverly twist terms to prove that the Sabbath is somehow 2,500 years newer than God says it is. Fourth, the seventh day is called the Sabbath of the Lord, not the Sabbath of the Jews or the Sabbath of the Israelites. Again, the phrase of the Lord connotes possession. An equivalent way of saying this is the Lord's Sabbath. Following basic reasoning, the seventh day is the Lord's day. No wonder Christ called the Sabbath the Lord's day. Sunday has never been the Lord's Day. It is the sun's day, plain and simple. Yes, men have given the seventh day the pagan name of Saturday, Saturn's day, but this day has always been God's day, the true Lord's day. Also, since the original Sabbath command uses the term the Sabbath of the Lord, it should be easy to see why the same Lord, Jesus Christ, would say to the Pharisees that he was Lord of the Sabbath.
The World to Come program will return after this brief message. Be sure to regularly view The World to Come. It is unlike anything you've seen before. The subject of this broadcast is only one of the many biblical topics that are misunderstood and misinterpreted by modern Christianity. The law of God, the origin of traditional holidays, salvation, heaven, hell, and the purpose of the family, the Sabbath, real faith, proper baptism, true conversion, financial laws, and numerous others are covered on this program. On The World to Come, you will hear the plain truth of these subjects and many more. You will also hear world news examined in the light of Bible prophecy, its biggest elements made easy to understand. Tune in for every broadcast. And now, back to David C. Pack.
Let's return to God's special covenant with Israel regarding a Sabbath. Notice, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath, and the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested. Again, this last phrase proves the Sabbath was established from creation over 2,500 years prior to Exodus 31. God explains his purpose is that the Sabbath sanctifies those who keep it. They are set apart as belonging to, being owned by, God. Christians are told in two places, you are bought with a price, be not you the servants of men. And in another place, you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God. Those who observe the Sabbath are signified as God's people, and that he owns them. They are also publicly identified as people who keep the commandments. Civil laws require people to keep several of the other commandments against stealing, murder, lying, perjury, and so forth. Therefore, obedience to most or all of the other commandments, which the world at least generally acknowledges in one form or another, does not identify one as a commandment keeper. The Sabbath does. It is a sign that people are of God, since no human would ever think or choose to keep this law without it having been revealed by God. Understand, God had to reveal this sign so that people would appreciate how it functions and what it represents. Take a drive down the street. You will notice all kinds of signs connoting ownership of various businesses and retail establishments. If you are looking for something in particular, the signs are important to you as a shopper. When God says the Sabbath is a sign, he intends and uses his sign in the same way the proprietor of a business does. Notice that God established the Sabbath as a perpetual covenant to be kept throughout your generations and forever. This is ironclad. God's command is for all time. The Sabbath was to be kept forever. Doing this keeps people in touch with the true God. It is the way God intended that people never lose sight of who he is, their God, and who they are, his people. If all peoples and nations kept the Sabbath, as Israel was commanded to do, no one would have ever fallen into idolatry and the worship of other gods, which has happened to all nations who have not kept it. The Sabbath identifies God for who, meaning which God, he is? Someone will surely ask. Couldn't Sunday point to the true God? Absolutely not. Here is why. Recall that God tied the Sabbath to the creation week. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested. God's rest was on the seventh day, not the first. Only by keeping the Sabbath are people forced to look back to the creation, and this forces them to focus on which God did the creating. Sunday worship and Sunday keeping does not do this, and obviously no other God but one created all things. All others thought to be gods are made of things God made. The Sabbath points to God as creator, and the creation is a proof that God exists. Not only does the Sabbath point those who observe it back to the true God, it also sets them apart as different from all others around them. Recall Exodus 31:13 states, "That you may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you." I cannot overstate the vital, crucial meaning of this phrase. Recall that part one on the subject of the Sabbath explained that sanctify means to set apart for a holy use or purpose. Consider, in a world filled with Sunday keepers, and Muslims keep Friday, and also among those who keep no day at all, the Sabbath keeper sticks out like the proverbial sore thumb. No one observing the seventh day can avoid this. Every time one keeps the Sabbath day, he puts up a neon sign pointing to the God who created the heavens and earth and rested on the seventh day. When one begins keeping the Sabbath, it immediately separates him as different from everyone else. I ask again, does it make any difference to God which day men choose to make holy? Can they arbitrarily select any day they wish and designate it holy? A well-known Bible example illustrates the point. Exodus 3 gives the account of God speaking to Moses from a burning bush. While many are familiar with this passage, there is an overlooked lesson in it pertaining to the Sabbath. The setting is Moses leading a flock of sheep to Mount Sinai. He came to a bush that was burning, yet was not burning up. God commanded Moses, "Draw not near here. Put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place whereon you stand is holy ground." Moses did not argue about whether he thought the ground was holy. He simply took his shoes off. Had Moses done otherwise, reasoning like so many today who argue about what God has made holy, God would have been unable to use him to lead Israel from bondage in Egypt. It was God's presence in the bush that made it holy. Surrounding bushes or ground were not holy. God designated only a certain piece of ground as holy, as having his presence. The account does not indicate that the ground looked or felt or in any way appeared different from the surrounding landscape. God had to reveal to Moses that the ground was holy, that he was present in it, that Moses must remove his shoes from it. Moses was given no choice but to treat that ground as special and holy. But appearance did not tell him this. God had to reveal it to him. There is a direct connection to the Sabbath in this point. Here is what the prophet Isaiah wrote. "If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure or business on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then shall you delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." This plain passage explains that there are ways to profane God's holy Sabbath. We live in an age filled with those foretold in 2 Timothy 3 to be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. But, like the ground around the burning bush, we are commanded to take our feet, our shoes, off God's holy time, time that belongs to and points to Him and has His holy presence in it. Either we believe the ideas and customs of men and their churches, or we believe the plain commands from Almighty God. Either the opinions and acceptance of God-rejecting human beings are important to us, or the opinion of God is. Which do you value? We saw on this in the last broadcast that God says He has given you the Sabbath. We also saw that this world's theologians have given mankind and professing Christianity Sunday. Again, which do you value? Let's examine a final point. God instructed Moses to record the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. The Hebrew word for holy convocation is mikra, meaning something called out, an assembly, a reading. This means a commanded assembly. It is inseparable from the overall keeping of the Sabbath and is as important as resting and doing no work therein. If Sabbath assembly is optional, then what about Hebrews 10? Notice, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. That's serious. The true church, God's church, the only one Jesus built, assembles together every Sabbath around the world. Here is a special book, Saturday or Sunday, which is the Sabbath. It is without doubt the strongest, most complete book on the Sabbath ever written. It examines the Sabbath question as never before. Every question, argument, and issue that has been raised about the Sabbath is covered in detail. But the reader cannot arrive at full comprehension of all that is at stake about whether Saturday or Sunday observance is binding on Christians until he has read every page. What has been covered in these two broadcasts is not supposition. They are the facts of God's Word and leave you with one of the biggest decisions of your life. Until next time, this is David C. Pack saying goodbye, friends.
This program was made available by Restored Church of God members and donors from around the globe. Explore our vast library of literature and other World to Come programs, which are all made available free of charge. To order literature featured in this program, call toll-free 1-855-828-4646. That number again, 1-855-828-4646.